Listen again to these words. Thy truth before the kings of earth, with boldness I will speak. And it's this bold speech that we find in Luke chapter 12. I'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 8 through verse 12. Luke chapter 12 at verse 8. It's found on page 1009 in our Black Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 8 and reading to verse 12. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of God will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. That's as far as we're reading the word of the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Spirit do today? What is the Spirit's work? How necessary is the Spirit? How important is His work in our lives? Well, when we consider the truth, why is there such a different response to the truth? Some who hear the truth deny it, they suppress it, they want nothing to do with the truth, while others, upon hearing the truth, embrace it and rejoice in it. What makes the difference? Why do some delight in the truth and others despise it? Well, today we are going to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of His presence in connection to His teaching work within the church. As we saw last week, when we live in fear of men, those who fear men tend to be silent, tend to fail to speak what is true. Those who live in fear of men will deny the truth, will say things in order to get out of difficult situations. But those who embrace the truth speak it openly and love it and even defend it. If we fear the Lord, if we believe Him, we will confess the truth openly. So we are going to consider this theme this morning. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit so that the church might acknowledge the truth. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit so that the church might acknowledge the truth. Have you ever been accused of doing something? Even if you're guilty. If you're accused of doing something wrong, you know you shouldn't have done, what most people tend to do is to deny, to deflect, to distract, to point the finger at someone else. It's not me, it's someone else. But what about being accused of being a Christian? How do you respond then? Well, today we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is going to enable us to love the truth, to speak the truth, and even defend the truth when we are accused and condemned as believers. We start then in our first point by finding the Holy Spirit who is sent by Jesus Christ is the Spirit who enables us to know, to speak, and to profess that truth publicly. Read with me again in our passage in verse 8. I tell you, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. If we acknowledge Christ, if we profess Christ, the word for acknowledge here is the word for confession, profession. It is a verbal action to declare, to admit, to profess openly, boldly, publicly that you are a worshiper of God. This is not just a one-time event, a public profession when you stand in front of the church. It's not to deny that, but it's broader than that. It's bigger than that. It is a life of profession, a continual act of speaking, proclaiming, and declaring that you belong to Christ. that you are a Christian. Who are we called to make this profession before? Our passage says, before men. The word men here is in reference to humanity as a whole, the world in which we live. That means if you're at school, your classmates. If you're at home, your family. If you're at church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're in the work field, those who you're working with. Before men. This profession, your belief, is made verbally evident before the watching world. Romans 10 says it this way. Not only do you need to believe in your heart. Yes, that's true. Absolutely. You need to trust in Christ with your heart. You need to have this faith, this confident dependence upon him. But you believe in your heart, but you also profess, confess with your mouth with that Jesus is Lord. And you will be saved. Romans 10 continues. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the negative aspect would be if you don't profess, if you don't believe, you will not be saved. There's an interesting consequence given here in this verse that those who profess before the world will be professed in heaven. That when you confess something today in this life, something will be confessed about you in the life that is to come. A public profession leads to a public profession. If you confess that you belong to Christ before men in this life, Christ says this, I will acknowledge you before the angels in heaven in glory. Jesus will say, this one is mine. I am my beloved and he belongs to me. Here Jesus is saying he is going to make known before the whole world on that day of judgment. We talk about that white throne being set up, and last couple of weeks we've been talking about every action that man does, everything you do is written, it's recorded, and it's all going to be revealed. But the most public, the loudest affirmation will be this. Did this one believe and profess in this life? If so, Jesus will say, this one belongs to me. This one is mine. It's a glorious truth. It's a wondrous doctrine that when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to make known before the angels, before the whole world, confessing the name of his children. Verbally declaring, this one is mine. But how do we have the strength to do this? Knowing, as our passage is going to continue, that Christians will be persecuted in this world, knowing that we are by nature prone to fear men, we are prone to hate God, hate our neighbor, how in the world do we, who are by nature foolish, thinking of Proverbs, folly bound up in our hearts, how do we ever come to a point when we will believe and profess that which is true? How do we have the strength, the wisdom to go about doing this, even the boldness? Well, listen to 1 Corinthians 12. If you are speaking by the Spirit, speaking by the Holy Spirit, you will say, Jesus is Lord. To turn that verse around like this, the only way you can say Jesus is Lord is if you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift that Jesus Christ gave to the church. It is the Spirit that gives us new hearts, giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak that which is true. He loose your tongue so that you would say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and he has been raised from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit who in John 14 leads us, teaches us, instructs us in the way that is true. So when we are spirit-filled, born-again Christians, which are the only kind of Christians there are, spirit-filled, born-again Christians, you will believe, you will profess, and then Jesus will profess when he comes back. But what about those who do not? What about those who, as our passage continues in verse 9, he who disowns me, who denies me before men, will be disowned, denied before the angels of God. Those who are ashamed of Jesus Christ, who refuse to claim Christ, who refuse to believe in him, to acknowledge him before men, those who do not want anything to do with Jesus Christ in this life, Jesus will want nothing to do with them in the life that is to come. He will say to them, "Away from me. You didn't know me on earth. Away from me, you evildoer. I do not now know you in heaven." So in the larger context of this chapter, if you choose to fear men below, you will not be embraced above. Deny Jesus in this life. If you are ashamed of him, verse 9 says, he will be ashamed of you, denying you on the day of judgment. An old proverb says it this way: preach the gospel and use words only when necessary. But Jesus says words are necessary. Let me say that again. The proverb that many of us know is, it's preach the gospel, use words when necessary. Jesus is saying words are necessary. If you profess, if you proclaim in this life that Jesus is your Lord, then he will proclaim you as his child in the life to come. But what if, by way of fear of man, you have failed to speak the truth? Okay, so now we have the doctrine set before us. We develop this by saying, what if you haven't been consistent? What if you have remained silent when you should have spoken? What if you have, because of your fear of men, have refrained when you know Jesus by his Spirit was calling you to speak? Is there any hope? Are you condemned? Not at all, Jesus says. Because in verse 10, he continues by comforting his disciples by saying this: everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Jesus says it is possible for a Christian to fall into sin and temptation. It is possible for a true Christian to fail to speak when they should. It's a sin. It needs to be acknowledged, repented of, asked for forgiveness of. But it is possible to have a hasty or fear-driven denial when persecution is present, to act contrary to the truth that is in your heart. We only need to think of one example. That's Peter. Peter in Luke chapter 22 will call down a curse on himself, saying, "Surely I do not know this man." Remember that Jesus had foretold Peter was going to do that three times. For the rooster crows, he's going to say to multiple people in multiple situations, "I don't know Jesus." People say, "Well, you talk like Jesus talks. You have this Galilean dialect. You've been in his... What do you mean you don't... I've never known... I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know this guy at all." So Peter denied the Christ, the Son of Man. It's a very serious, grievous thing, but it's not unforgivable. Because as John 21 speaks of, Peter was restored. Peter is asked three times to correspond to the threefold rebellion. Peter is given three opportunities. Peter, Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Finally, Peter is being consistent with his heart. So Peter was able to find that there is forgiveness, there is restoration, because Jesus had been praying for his faith, that his faith would not fail. Peter was not given over into the hands of Satan. Peter was delivered. He came to see his sin. Even the thief on the cross, who would start off by cursing Jesus Christ, would grow into a faith converted on the cross. But Jesus says this is possible to be forgiven. It is possible for a Christian to fail to speak what is true, to speak what is right. But he continues in verse 10 by saying, however, if anyone blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, they will not be forgiven. Jesus speaks of blasphemy or blaspheme. Now, this in itself, it's a Greek word. The word blaspheme, it's a Greek word. It means to curse, to speak against, to vilify. Now, we need to be clear here. Jesus, in speaking what we often refer to as the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin, this unpardonable sin is a continual, persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. It is to attribute the work of Jesus Christ to the works of the devil. Revelation 13, as the beast who opens his mouth to blaspheme God. Earlier in chapter 11, verse 5, that's when Jesus was casting out demons, and the Pharisees said, Jesus is casting out demons by the prince of demons. What they were doing, instead of attributing the work of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, they were attributing that power to the devil. Jesus says that is to blaspheme, to commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Instead of testifying to the fact that Jesus was true, righteous, good, and holy, and filled with the Holy Spirit, they rejected Christ and claimed that Christ was filled with the devil himself. Those who do this action, 1 John 4 says, are filled with the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist denies that Jesus is the Christ and that he has come in the flesh. The spirit of deception. It's a spirit of hard-hearted rebellion, a rejection of the gospel. There's a multitude of examples, not only the Pharisees as we just looked at, but Hebrews 12, verse 17 says, Esau, knowing that he had done wrong, found no place for repentance. It's a deliberate act of rebellion against the Holy Spirit in the context of the gospel and the covenant. Think of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They sinned against the Holy Spirit and they were condemned. Or even Judas. Judas, knowing that he had done a wicked thing in turning Jesus Christ over, does not respond with repentance that leads to faith. It's a stubborn rejection of the truth, and it leads to death, despair. Now, this is not to deny the power of the Holy Spirit. To be clear, the Spirit is effective. He is powerful. He will change the hearts of his people, those whom the Father has chosen. But here, speaking in the context of the covenant, in the midst of the gospel and the visible testament of the Holy Spirit's work by way of Jesus Christ. To deny these things and attribute them to the prince of darkness is to commit a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is a continuous hardness, high-handed rebellion. Now, this very brief word given here in this passage on the unforgivable sin has caused many Christians hours of concern. Have I committed this sin? Have I committed this act of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? But remember what this blasphemy is. It is a continual hardness, a refusal to repent, an attributing of Jesus Christ's message, gospel, work, ministry, calling that the work of the devil. The spirit of the Antichrist that says Jesus did not come in the flesh. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So in a way, if you are concerned that you have committed this sin, you are giving a testament to the fact you have not. If you are worried about committing this sin, if you are filled with a sorrow when you have denied Christ and failed to speak the truth, you are showing that the Spirit is still present in your heart and working within you, softening your heart, convicting of sin. Thus, for those who have this grief, this sorrow for sin, this godly repentance which leads to life, when you have that, then you know today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent and believe. Well, as we come to our final point, we find the Spirit not only teaches us in the truth, the Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Christ and He is the Holy One of God. Finally, we see that the Spirit continues to work in the presence of persecution. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to His disciples many times, if you follow Me, you're going to be persecuted. They persecuted Me, they're going to persecute you. And specifically saying to His disciples, they're going to chain you, they're going to whip you, they're going to beat you, you're going to be hauled before princes and judges. And you're going to need to, in those contexts, to give a defense of the truth. Now follow the development that Jesus gives us in these few verses. The Holy Spirit enables us to profess what is true. That's the first point, right? Whoever acknowledges Me, the only way you're going to acknowledge Jesus Christ, believing in Him and professing in Him, is if the Holy Spirit is working in you. It is the Spirit who enables us to give a faithful witness before men. Instead of denying Christ by fear of men, we have boldly proclaimed what is true. Since we do that, people will persecute us. We should have every expectation. When you profess what is true, people who don't like the truth are going to persecute you. 2 Timothy 3 verse 5 says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. We should have every expectation that when you speak to an unbeliever, that they are not going to rejoice immediately in the gospel, in the truth of your profession. No, they're going to hate it. Because the devil has sway in their heart. They don't love Christ. They're not going to love His people. Well, as the apostles are going to find out, that when they profess the truth, the rulers of that day are going to scheme in order to get them to be quiet, to shut their mouths. So the disciples are going to find themselves in prison. Here in the prison, Jesus is saying, you're not going to be alone. In the presence of rulers, in the presence of persecution and trials, you're not going at this alone. The same Spirit who remained within you to at the beginning profess and believe remains within you throughout your entire life, equipping you, teaching you, instructing you, so that as verse 12 comes along, when you're hauled before rulers and authorities, don't be filled with anxious fear and fret. Rather, be comforted and encouraged, because the Spirit will teach you what you are to say. It is the Spirit who loosens our lips. So yes, congregation of Christ, persecution will come. But in this dark hour, the Spirit equipped them and will equip us to speak that which we need to speak. When we pray, and yes, prepare, we can trust that Christ will enable us to say that which we must say. Think of a few examples. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the book of Daniel. That's a very well-known, loved story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the presence of mighty King Nebuchadnezzar and the presence of a fiery furnace. They said this, King Nebuchadnezzar, know this. Our God is able to save us from your grasp, and he will deliver us from your hand. And know this, we will not serve your gods or your golden images. Such boldness and eloquence in the presence of severe trial, risk to life, can be attributed only to the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think of Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, the apostles again in Acts chapter 5, Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7. The Holy Spirit equips these men to, in the presence of such persecution and trial, to proclaim what is true, to defend what is true. The Spirit equips them to be the mouthpiece, to be a witness to the gospel. This same Peter who, it's kind of an interesting development, the Peter who denied Jesus Christ and was restored by Jesus Christ and then persecuted for being a Christian in Acts chapter 4 and beyond, writes this word in 1 Peter 3. Always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within your heart. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. The disciples are a testament to the great boldness after Pentecost of Spirit-filled Christians in the midst of trial. John chapter 14, I referenced this earlier. The Spirit who lives within you will teach you, will instruct you, cause you to remember everything that Christ did and said. He will lead you into all truth. If it is the spirit of the Antichrist that denies that Jesus came in the flesh, then it can only be the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, who will teach us to proclaim what is true and to defend that truth even in the midst of tribulation. This, by the Spirit, we can confess that Jesus is Lord and defend this truth even when there will be severe consequences. It is the Spirit that gives us the ability to be consistent and truthful and faithful. So when you go to this next week and the weeks to come, know that Christ equips you. We all have the necessary equipment to speak and even defend what is true, because God's people have the Holy Spirit. You're not left alone. Therefore, you need not fear men, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit who is in you is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist. To conclude, the Holy Spirit is that added comforter, that divine teacher who dwells within. The theme of this sermon was this: Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit so that the church might acknowledge the truth. If you are a member of Christ, then you will believe and profess, because the Spirit brings this change about in you. And if you are a Christian, have every expectation for persecution, trials, tribulation, it's going to come. You can see it persecution for those who want to take a stand for Christ and the truth. But don't be dismayed, Christ said. I will give you the words to speak because my spirit remains within you. I don't know when you'll be called upon to give a defense for the hope that's in your heart, but Peter says, always be ready. And when that time comes, pray that the Spirit would equip you and go in the comfort of knowing that Christ will never leave you without the strength, without the wisdom, without the words, because His Spirit of truth remains in our hearts. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit in His teaching ministry, His instructing, but also His encouraging, comforting, His work of equipping us to be faithful when it comes to confessing and defending the truth that we hold so dear. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of being Spirit-filled Christians. Help us, O Lord, to be ready. By your Spirit, lead us into all truth so that we might clearly profess, proclaim, and defend the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.